Hello and welcome to Brain Trust Live number 165.
This week on the podcast, the first GOP debate is just days away, and there's no way to discredit Trump in time. Look out!
Huckabee plans to distinguish himself before the debates as the only candidate ready to call the military in to stop your abortion.
And Obama will introduce new climate change measures, but not in time to stop this nightmarish heatwave in Iran.
Black lives may not matter to some Americans, but lion lives sure do. A dead lion trumps another police murder as this week's top story.
And send your computer friends to Canada, guys. Turns out American streets are not safe for hitchhiking robots.
We'll have all this and more.
This is Brain Trust Live. Hey guys, I'm Brent.
I'm Lila, and you can find us on the web at www.braintrustlive.com.
That's right, and you should do that because a lot of stuff is going to be going on this week.
Yes, this is a big week for us posting random shit on the internet.
Huge.
So find us on Facebook. Facebook is where we do that best. On Facebook. Yeah. We'll tweet that stuff too.
Yeah.
It's going to be important for your weekly comedic reading.
Yes, exactly, because we have the first Republican debate coming this week.
Yeah.
It's on Thursday. It's going to be spectacular.
It's going to change lives.
It is.
Because of its hilarity.
Yeah. Well, we don't even know who's going to be in it yet.
Not yet.
And we're not going to know until Tuesday.
Yeah.
And the
so
debate
far
is on Thursday.
The people that are looking like they're going to be in it is a great lineup.
That's right.
We've previewed this lineup somewhat on the podcast.
But it seems to be coming
according to this week's NBC News poll. We have a sort of clear idea. There are four people that are above 10%. That's already a hilarious foursome because it includes Trump and Ben Carson.
Genius.
Like, and also Scott Walker's no non-fool, you know?
Correct.
And Jeb Bush is the stupid Bush, as we've discussed. That's already a great foursome.
Totally.
Then the rest of the top 10 is looking like it's going to be Cruz, Huckabee, Dreams.
Yes.
Paul, mm-hmm. Rubio, Christie.
Uh-huh.
Who's safely sort of in with the three percenters of Kasich and Perry.
And Kasich. And actually, it ends at Kasich.
Oh, it ends at
here,
Kasich.
Actually, yes, because this is 11
I just didn't count.
It's because I put top 10 here.
Yeah.
That was
Brent's a liar.
That was me. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It seems as though 8 are locked. That's
everyone
all the way up
above 5%.
Right, exactly. Locked. Everybody down to Rubio, who we just read to you. We won't read him again. And then you've got the Christie, Kasich, and Perry sort of all in play. The 3% trio, only 2 of those 3 people.
66% and
correct.
2 of those 3 people
yes,
will
that's
be
math.
In this debate.
That's math, yes.
Yeah,
so,
I just did that.
Yeah, one of those guys is going to get left out.
And let's hope that it's Kasich for entertainment reasons.
I know. Yeah,
like,
because he's a
snore. Perry's already made a fool of himself at the debates, so...
Yeah, we need him there.
We can only hope that he'll do it again.
Right. Yeah,
Christie and Trump together just seems like a dream team of crazy.
Yeah, because Donald Trump has already been spouting crazy.
Right. Two aggressive tri-staters who both don't take shit and, like, get in people's faces.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's what you're looking for.
Exactly what you're looking for.
The only way this could be better is if Bobby Jindal was somehow in this debate.
I know.
But he will be at the candidates forum that they're holding for the bottom 7.
Yes.
So everyone will get a chance.
And everybody gets to go to the candidates
nonsense.
Forum.
Yeah.
Now, too. Because it was only going to be if you had 1%.
Oh, right. And now they've expanded
now
it
it's expanded
to everyone.
It to everyone.
So this, I mean, this means that everybody gets the chance to say something crazy.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's what we're looking for.
And it's also exciting because supposedly they are going to be placing them all in order on the stage by how they're doing in the polls. So Trump is going to be in the middle, and then he's going to be flanked by Bush and Walker.
Yes. And then Carson's going to have a very good spot.
Ben Carson has a good spot, and then it just goes outward from there. And you're going to have some, like, crazy outliers on the ends, too, because you're going
to
have,
is the best place
Chris
to have
Christie screaming at Donald Trump from 6 people away.
That's going to be genius.
That's going to be great.
Every time that they do one of these debates and put outliers sort of, like, on the ends, it just creates a spectacle that there's not really even a way to describe it. This is like what happened at the governor's debates in New York.
Oh,
remember
yeah,
this?
Right.
They put all
yes.
these crazies on the sides, and they were just, like, shouting nonsense from the sides, and it was like, what's happening here?
Yeah, exactly.
It was great. But so this is this is a great setup. It's a great field. It's unpredictable to the degree that John Kasich said this week about how he's going to prepare for the debates.
Yeah.
Imagine a NASCAR driver mentally preparing for a race knowing one of the drivers will be drunk.
Yeah,
that exactly. sort of sums up what's happening yeah. here pretty well.
And I think somebody else said something, too, that they said on Meet the Press, like somebody's press person said, like, Donald Trump is a rattlesnake.
Yes.
It was something, like, I can't remember exactly what, yeah. what they said. But, like, nobody really knows how to deal with Trump, because he's not anybody who's debated before.
Right.
He's, you know, not your, like, typical politician. He's not saying things that, like, you know, he's being outlandish and all of
right.
this crazy stuff. So, like, nobody really knows how to prepare for dealing with that.
Right.
You know, in their debate prep.
Right, because he's not a seasoned politician. He doesn't know the system.
Yeah.
And these guys have a very minor grasp on the system as it is.
Exactly.
So, to introduce that kind of wild card into a systemless group of people already is...
Yeah.
You're asking for trouble, / you're asking for comedy, which
yeah.
is what they're asking for.
Yeah.
But so this is going to be the beginning of what promises to be a very...
Dreams.
Yeah, dreamy series of
yeah.
of Republican debates. And this is so early, too.
Yeah.
Like a summer debate?
I know,
Were we
crazy.
Doing this before?
I know.
I mean, I guess once you have 17 people, you might as well start the thing so that more people aren't like, you know what, if we're all doing it,
yeah,
I'll declare,
exactly.
why not?
I know.
You know,
yeah.
like... That uh-huh. seems to be what's been happening to them.
Yeah, they were asking Debbie Wasserman Schultz about when the Democratic debates were going to start happening. Because it's like, where are those?
Months from now.
Yeah, exactly.
Months and months from now.
Yeah.
After they've already... I mean, but because of this, there's been some like funny movements in the Democratic polls that I think are just related to people thinking that they need to have an opinion already.
Yes.
I mean, that's what's so funny about what's going
yeah.
on. Anyway, in preparation for these debates, Mike Huckabee... Poor Mike Huckabee wants to figure out how to set himself apart. Because Mike Huckabee had a way to set himself apart. Then Rick Santorum stole half of that way.
Yep.
And then Donald Trump stole another half of that way. And Ben Carson stole the remaining...
Totally.
That was third. We're
yeah,
talking in thirds.
Exactly.
I was so good at math just minutes ago. I don't know what happened.
I don't either. Yeah.
But so he's been a little lost in this
yeah.
debate. He's one of our resident crazy people.
Yeah.
He's a Fox News pundit.
Yeah.
He's an host.
Yeah.
Or past host. He's... a teddy bear on
yep.
top of being crazy.
Totally.
So he's
yeah.
someone who we had initially thought had a lot of promise
right.
in this.
Well, I think
a
that,
lunatic teddy bear? That
yeah.
seems like exactly what they're looking
totally.
For.
Totally. And I think that it's interesting because he, and I think to some degree also Rubio, and I think probably Paul a little bit, are getting, I don't think anyone saw what's going on with
no,
Trump
no.
or what's going on with Ben Carson
no.
coming. And I think that
they're
that is
a
where...
lost. They were supposed to be the flankers.
Yes.
That was the flanking team that everyone expected. Huckabee did very well in 2008 for a crackpot.
Yeah.
You know, Rand Paul was hoping to be the sort of Ron Paul of this cycle. He's hoping
yep.
to be a sort of like libertarian outlier who,
yep.
you know, gets this group of people who don't really vote Republican excited.
Right.
You know, these are supposed to be our flankers. And instead, they're relegated to like 6th and 7th and 8th place.
Yeah.
Because there's too much excitement going on at the top.
Yeah.
There's too many people. All
exactly.
of them are crazy. Donald Trump, I don't understand what's happening, but I think it's allowing the Republican Party to show their true colors in certain ways. Because it's
yeah.
really showing, like, what gets them excited is outright racism. That's
yes.
what will get you votes in the Republican
yes.
primary.
Exactly.
So they're not even, like, credible people to be having
no,
a race conversation
they're
with because they're just outward racist. So in any
yeah.
case, Mike Huckabee, searching for something,
yep.
you know?
Anything.
Anything. One place that he really can find his footing in is
yeah.
in hating abortion. In... His
totally.
his crazy pro-lifeness
yep.
is one of the areas
Can't
in which he
stopped.
Really shines.
Yeah, that's right.
And so this week he was making a series of campaign stops in Iowa, and he was asked about his position on abortion. At first, he offered up, "I will not pretend there's nothing we can do to stop this," and said he would invoke the 5th and 14th Amendments for the protection of every human
Ooh.
As a tool to stop abortion, and then got press at the next city. So this is
yeah.
in Jefferson, Iowa. He moves on to Rockwell City, Iowa. Asked again about his stance and said all American citizens should be protected. Then he got challenged directly about what exactly he plans to do in order to make sure that all
yeah.
American citizens are protected, and was asked if he would consider using the FBI or federal forces to enforce his interpretation of
yeah.
Roe v. Wade, I guess. And he said, "We'll see if I get to be president." Basically, the man sort of sidewardly?
Yes.
Admitted that he was, like, willing to call the military on you in order to make sure you aren't getting an abortion. He's going to make sure the FBI is investigating every single case of
abortion
and federal forces are called in
That's right.
to stop those crazies.
Yep.
Last November, lest we forget, he also compared abortion. He said abortion was worse than the Holocaust. So,
oh yes, that's, you know, right.
I mean, he loves a good Holocaust reference, as does everyone in the Republican field. But that was one of my favorites. And also, he's from a state that has tried again and again to restrict access to abortion. Totally. But in any case, he's really gunning for the most pro-life mantle.
Yes.
Which is, I think, something he can do. He can win that mantle.
I think he can, too.
I mean, I think Ben Carson might give him a run for his money.
Yes,
Ben Carson, inspiring life story, child neurosurgeon.
Rick Santorum.
Ben Carson. Rick Santorum, I feel like, is veering off course, though. There's a
lot of crazies. Well, yeah.
I mean, I feel like Rick Santorum, he was having some weird populist ideas. He was stealing another part of the Huckabee platform that Huckabee has since given up on.
Yeah.
Huckabee doesn't even talk about the economy anymore. No. He just talks about transgender people, abortions, and gay people.
Yeah,
that's all he talks about.
That's it. Yeah.
And that's enough to pull in sixth place, by the way, in the Republican primary. So why bother speaking of anything else?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, on the Democratic side,
guys,
we're getting more and more news that Joe Biden is thinking of jumping into the race. This week, his advisors said that he was 90% in, which we know from Hillary math is 100% in.
100%.
So, in any case, they're starting to talk about their fundraising mechanisms and starting a, you know, super PAC and all of these things. And we're starting to talk about what this means for the Democratic primary and when this happens.
Right.
Because Hillary's likability factor is plummeting.
Right, exactly. And that is what a lot of people are looking to as a reason for him to get in, because she's really underwater with her approval rating, and he is, you know,
he's got the highest approval rating he's ever had.
Yeah, exactly.
It's 49%.
And there's been recent polls that have him like at 13 or, you know, percent running against Clinton. Now, obviously, that's, she's probably got 50 something in that poll.
Yeah, she got, I think, but I mean, like, there was a 13% to 55% poll recently.
But I mean, like, this is a man who's not running.
Exactly.
You know, so.
Yeah, well, and also, this is somebody who, like O'Malley to some degree, would be drafting her a bit. I see problems for him in that he's not really to her left, and they need to fill the hole to her left.
Right, that's...
That's the problem that they're facing. So he's not really the right candidate for this. That's like running Al Gore. They're talking about that, too, and it's sort of like, what's Al Gore offering to this race that Hillary Clinton hasn't already offered?
Yeah, nothing.
Like, nothing.
Yeah.
So to some degree, I feel like Biden doesn't really have what the people are looking for when they say that they don't approve, you know, when Hillary Clinton's approval rating is so low.
Yeah.
But at the same time,
it's exciting.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
I love a good new person in the race.
Totally.
And I would love it if he was a late entry. I'm excited about the potential for late entries in this primary season in particular.
Ditto.
Especially on the Democratic side. Yeah. The Republican side, they have more entries than they could ever possibly imagine.
I feel like maybe his way in is that he's the person who is going to continue on
the
Obama years.
Yeah.
And it seems like we're getting to the point where maybe we want that.
Right.
You know, I mean, he's got his highest approval rating now. You know, I mean, we've had more consecutive months of job growth than, you know, ever before.
Right. We're about to talk about a big environmental.
Right. You've got all of these things that, you know, I think that you could point to be like, I'm the guy to keep doing that.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, that's really his only opening.
I
feel like it will be hard for him to position himself as that person because he's kind of still the old line. Like, Obama is new and young and whatever. I mean, he's now is old and not.
Sure.
But, you know, like, he was a new and young entry into this whole thing. And I think that with Biden, we have sort of more connections to our Democratic past.
I agree.
Clintonite Democratic past.
Yes. Yeah.
But I feel like he maybe has a better case for being the shepherd for those, you know, those changes than Hillary does. So, you know, why not?
Yeah.
Very charming smile also. I was going to say, maybe that's what he has.
Yeah.
That's all he needs. He's like got a movie star smile.
Yeah.
Like, who cares about the rest of it? Also, these stories that are like, Bo really wanted him to run are so ridiculous.
I can't
take those seriously.
Yeah.
But that's another thing that's happening is he has his dead son wanted him to run story.
Yeah.
Hillary doesn't have that.
No,
her daughter probably doesn't care at all if she runs. It's probably like, stop running.
Oh, she does.
Well, her daughter her daughter is sort of like a career Clinton.
Yeah.
So she can't
totally
not care, but she also isn't, she's not an uninterested party who just happens to be related to Clinton. You know, like,
yes.
She's like part of the Clinton machine.
Yes.
In any case, speaking of the Obama legacy, on Monday, Obama is going to release the final version of the regulations that he released last year as the Clean Power Plan to cut greenhouse gas emissions from U.S. power plants. So these proposals will, you know, they're aimed mostly at coal-fired power plants. It's about sort of transforming the way that we produce energy to being less, you know, more sort of solar and wind and less coal-based and at least more sort of natural gas, which, as we know, is not necessarily that much better for the environment, but it's better than coal.
Yeah, exactly. Because
it burns cleaner than coal.
Right.
So in any case, they're looking, the goal of this plan would be a 32% reduction in carbon emissions by 2030, which, and the draft plan only called for 30%, so they improved their outlook, I guess, in the last year.
Great.
It's mostly through their incentive programs to get power companies to move towards solar and wind power, and then they want to stop construction on any new coal-fired power plants. There aren't that many of those under construction anymore anyway. I mean, we've moved past that as a people.
Yes.
They would like to get our percentage of energy provided by renewable sources up to 28% by 2030. So the plan is a little more lenient on states. It gives them two more years to comply with the regulations and a little bit more flexibility about how they implement them. And they're expecting some pushback from power companies and some states also, especially those that are in bed with the power companies.
Yes.
It really...
The coal
states. Right. Yeah. We're going to see on Monday how it's received by the general people at large.
Yeah.
People think that it's probably, you know, in December there's going to be a UN meeting where they're going to talk a lot about greenhouse gas emissions and stuff like that. So it's really, he's releasing it in sort of preparation for that. People are expecting there to be some sort of global accord signed at that meeting.
Yeah.
So we can start to talk globally about decreasing greenhouse gas emissions. Because a lot of when we talk internationally about this problem, a lot of what is holding everyone up is that America is not doing anything about it.
Right. Well,
the greenhouse gases.
Right. We produce all the greenhouse gases, but we also have to look at it globally too, though. I mean, yes, we need to be the leaders.
Right. But it can't just be us.
It can't just be us.
But we are sort of in a position where people are looking to our policy to determine what's feasible for their economies.
Totally.
And we are kind of like sitting here like, sorry, we can't do it. Right. Business is more important. And like, we need to cut that shit
I totally agreed. But if we do it alone, then do nothing.
Then we've done nothing.
Ultimately.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Right. You know who has greenhouse gas emissions? China. They're not going to listen to us if we're like...
We're getting another Beijing Olympics.
I know.
Guys.
Yes. Yes, we are. It's happening again. Because
winter.
You know what? I'm
this
for
time.
It. I feel like the Chinese put on an excellent Olympics last time. I feel like they can be trusted. A collectivist economy is the exact kind of economy you want.
That's
because
they
don't have to care about individuals in a collectivist economy.
And this time with snow.
This time with snow. Why not?
It's going to be great.
No, it's going to be polluted, but it's going to be great. And... No, China should be doing all the Olympics, as far as I'm concerned.
Ditto.
I feel like every other country that attempts to do the Olympics, especially in the developing world, gets screwed over by having, you know, these huge debts they can't pay back after the Olympics. It happened to Greece. It's going to happen to Rio. Like, all of these other places...
A lot of countries pulled
out... Don't want the Olympics anymore. Boston was...
The finalists pulled out of this last one because...
They were just like, we can't.
They were like, we're not going to do this. It's too
much too expensive.
Money.
And we saw what happened to Sochi. Sochi's a ghost town now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all that investment for nothing.
Yeah.
So China, I feel like they are doing it right, whatever they're doing.
That's right.
I don't know. It's probably not right, but they're doing it right for them, and that's what counts.
Yeah.
They're putting on a great show, is what I mean.
And they're doing it right for us.
They're doing it right for us, yes. In any case... Congress is about to go into recess.
Yes.
This week, and then Senate.
The House,
the Senate,
I think, already
The House has gone and the House recess started. The Senate recess starts next week, I think. They go until after Labor Day. So they're on vacation.
This is vacation time.
And this is when we start to reflect on what exactly has been going on in Congress.
Right.
A whole lot of nothing.
Because we've had, you know, they came into office in January.
Right.
And so now
we had
this
a
is
new
sort
party
of like,
in power.
You know, they've gone on some recesses and things, but like now they're going on sort of like... summer break time.
Right. This is...
And so, let's look and see what happened since January.
Nothing. Not a thing.
They didn't do anything.
No one's done anything. And this is... The Democrats are sort of gloating at this point because they are currently looking like the most reasonable people on the planet. And they are in a position to obstruct everything and are obstructing everything, but only because the Republicans are playing such not nice ball.
Right. Well, that's the thing. You know, a lot of times the minority party is the one who... ends up you know, taking all the flak for everything. Right, because like they have to obstruct things. And so that's what, you know, when the Republicans shut down the government, like they took the blame for that. And, you know, we're about to have a government shutdown potentially coming up here. Yeah. And the Democrats are the minority party and they are not going to take the fall for it. The things that are causing them to obstruct
are so patently absurd. Like we had an appropriations bill this month that was killed by an amendment that was aimed to protect the Confederate flag and, like, make sure it could still fly in federal cemeteries or some nonsense.
Yeah.
Like, we have Ted Cruz and Mark Meadows openly challenging the leadership of their respective houses.
Yeah.
I mean,
Ted Cruz called Mitch McConnell a liar on the Senate floor.
On the Senate floor. Like, there's some real confusing chaos going on within the Republican ranks. And then on top of that, they're attempting that same old strategy that got them blamed for the last shutdown, where they're trying to be like, no, we'll only pass an appropriations bill if this totally unreasonable piece of legislation is attached to it. Yes. Remember when they were going to defund Obamacare, and that's how we shut down the government the first time.
Yeah.
This time, they're going to do it with some. They're going to do it with a Confederate flag bill or something like that. There's another bill that they have. It's a Planned Parenthood bill.
Oh yeah, right. That's the new thing.
They want to defund Planned Parenthood. As we know, we're not going to defund Planned Parenthood. Let's all just get that through our heads. There was a series of videos that got released that were about the fetal tissue donation program that Planned Parenthood has. And so conservatives started again calling to defund the group. The Senate is going to vote this Monday on a defunding measure. It's not going to pass. The Democrats are going to block it, but they're already talking about attaching it to the next sort of spending appropriations bill that will be the one that shuts down the government, because we're not going to defund Planned Parenthood in order to just continue doing our jobs.
Yeah.
But so they had a big fight this week over a highway funding bill, where they were, you know, they came in and they were going to stop doing these like small piecemeal funding mechanisms where they fund things for 3 months at a time or whatever.
Right. The Senate really wanted to do the highway funding bill for 3 years. The House wanted to do it for 3 months. So they each passed their own. And then we don't have a highway funding bill.
No, all we have is John Boehner calling the Senate's bill a piece of shit.
Right. Yeah.
So that's been really productive. Yeah. And this was part of their plan coming in, was they were going to stop doing this. They had been funding stuff like this.
Yeah, that's what they claimed.
Yeah, and honestly, like, under the Democrats, we had spent 4 years basically doing a very sort of equal approach to funding new appropriations bills. To passing new appropriations bills. After the sequester, they were very much trying to sort of like find a 50-50 approach to making this happen.
Yeah.
The Republicans come in and like, we're already talking about our next shutdown.
Yeah.
It's like, it's madness. So in any case, the Democrats are gloating. Again, they're just gloating. They don't actually have a way of doing anything about this or even turning this into a tangible result.
Right. I was going to say, and they didn't have to do anything. No. They literally just could sit back and watch.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Which is brilliant.
It's going well for them.
Yeah.
So they're basically like trying to figure out now, other than, like, they're just trying to figure out how to spin this now so that they can kind of keep this moral authority moving forward. Because this is terrible news for the Republicans going into a presidential year. They're such fools. I saw this coming. I feel like any thinking person saw this coming.
Yeah.
But they are such fools for letting this. They should have figured this was the one year they had to make something happen.
I totally agree. Well, you and I even talked about this. That, like, this
gag was Ted Cruz and just, like,
stick
him in a closet. And, like, move on with your lives.
Yeah, exactly.
And go back to the old way of doing things where you were at least halfway credible.
Because it's also, not only is it bad going into a presidential year, it's bad going into all of their Senate and House races, too.
Yeah, no,
because
exactly.
Because these are the people who are not doing anything, whose own jobs are on the line.
Yeah.
And
to go into, like, to have a presidential year to be sort of, like, creating that lack of credibility with your Senate and House members is really deadly to your presidential ambitions.
Totally.
I mean, these things all happen together.
Yeah.
When Democrats get elected to the presidency, Democrats win House and Senate races.
Yes, correct.
When Republicans get elected to the presidency, the same thing happens.
Yeah.
You know, if you have an exciting presidential candidate, it drives all sorts of people to the polls. If you have a problem like you had when the Todd Akins of the world were,
then
you don't win anything. And we could end up back in that situation.
Yeah.
In any case, that all aside, here's what was really on people's minds this week.
I can't even with this story, actually.
And I know.
I was so tired of it by day two that...
By one second into hearing about it?
But you probably heard that a lion got killed in Africa this week.
By a dentist
from Minnesota.
Yeah. who paid something like $55,000 to do that.
Now, this was apparently Cecil the Lion,
yes,
who was in some sort of camp, basically.
Right, and right? He was a lion that people were doing a lot of documentaries
lion.
About yes. and stuff. He was yes. He was a sort of a resident, a mayor lion. He was the mayor of that lion community.
And he was basically pulled out, shot with a bow and arrow, and then later shot with a gun.
Right.
And outrage.
People have lost their damn minds about
yes. this. Yes, because he cut the lion's head off and then took a picture of
the lion. As these people are always doing. If you search the internet, there's just thousands of pictures of awkward-looking white people sitting beside African game that they have killed.
Yeah, we're going to tell you about another one.
We're going to tell you about another one. But there was even... Did you see that woman with a giraffe, that picture?
Oh, God, no.
That's such a gross picture. Well, don't kill a giraffe.
No,
who are they hurting?
Nobody.
They're funny-looking, and they have to live with that. Just let them go on eating trees or whatever they're up to.
Yeah,
exactly. In any case, Walter Palmer kills this lion. Yeah. Has already lost his dental practice. He's a ruined man.
And no one even knows where he is.
No, yeah, he's right. He's gone.
He's gone.
He disappeared.
Yeah.
But the backlash has been interesting because it's suddenly a bunch of Democratic senators got in there and passed a don't kill African game law. You can't import African game anymore. They're calling it the Cecil Act.
Yes.
The Ceasing the Importation of Large Animal Trophies Act. Stop trying with this, guys. These acronyms are driving me nuts.
You can't.
As Brent put in our notes, get over yourselves.
That's right.
Oh, no, it's Conserving Ecosystems by Ceasing the Importation Animal Trophies Act. That makes more sense than the Patriot Act one.
But the extreme outrage on the internet
over
this was
can't seem to find over the police killing unarmed black people every week.
No, I know. And that was sort of what
and
ultimately
that was the,
got
the contrast
me there.
That
and
got,
that was the,
yeah.
Right, exactly. You know.
That was a contrast that sort of created a second wave of rage where everyone was like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Is everyone going to only care about this lion getting shot?
I know. Well, and that was, and everyone sort of used it to their own benefit because, you know, we're obviously talking about, you know, Black Lives Matter. Some people were talking about that woman who had been shot up in San Francisco. Some people were talking about one of the presidential candidates tweeted something about you know, where's the outrage over all of the aborted fetuses? It's
okay,
all right, everybody. But the point is, I mean,
it's well taken.
It's well taken.
Why did we all lose our collective internet minds over this?
Right, exactly.
This is not the first time, P.S., that an African lion has been shot by an American. And it is this is not the first time we've had some outrage over it.
Yes.
But the last time that we had the chance to be this outraged, we didn't really pick up the ball.
No, we didn't.
So,
and it was probably because Twitter wasn't going so full force
at the
time.
Right, we weren't on the witch hunt track with Twitter.
Right.
And this, by the way... Now there's another lion that's been shot, and
I know.
Now we're getting all these news of these lions being shot, which is terrible. But anyway, we want to remind you of Representative Paul Braun.
Yes.
Who was a former representative for Georgia's
ran for Senate.
10th District, ran for Senate, not only killed a lion, this was he ran in 2014, but this was I think 5 or 6 years ago or something.
Yeah.
Not only killed a lion, but ate it.
He ate it.
He
That's right, and was proud of it. That's his style.
That's his style. He's not the kind of guy that shoots an animal and then doesn't eat it.
That's right.
He talks about this in a video that Roll Call made in 2010, where he's taking people on a tour of his office, and there's, all these large game trophies, basically.
Yeah.
And so he has a lion, a lion's head in his office. And he tells viewers that he shot this lion at, and then ate it. And
said
the natives called me Boss Shumba. They'd never seen a guy come and actually eat a lion. It's not very good, but it's part of my hunting ethic. If I'm going to shoot it, I'm going to eat it.
Well, I guess we can...
At least he's doing something with it instead of just killing it and then taking a picture with it, which is what everyone else is doing.
Yeah.
But so that we didn't have the same social media shaming ethos at the time.
Yeah.
But
we're really doing a lot of that.
We're doing a lot of that right now.
Yeah.
And we're doing a lot of it at the expense, I think, of issues that actually matter.
Yes,
which
agreed.
Is what's kind of that's what's been frustrating, you know, as we've seen the Black Lives Matter movement be like, hey,
right,
guys, that Black lives matter, and you don't seem to be that ashamed of that, you're not internet shaming anyone over that.
No,
but so meanwhile, we had another police killing in Cincinnati this week,
we did,
which did not get nearly as much airplay as Cecil the Lion.
No, it definitely didn't.
Definitely not.
Sort of toward the end of the week, it picked up a little bit because they released the body cam video. Footage. But it was a...
It's another traffic stop. The guy gets pulled over for not having a front license plate.
Right, exactly. And he was actually a University of Cincinnati police officer.
Right.
He pulls him over, pulls him out of the car because the guy, like...
Didn't provide his driver's license
or whatever. And then shot him.
Yeah. As you would need to if a man doesn't have a driver's license to show you.
Right, exactly.
Just immediately jump to shooting him.
Yeah.
So this, because I think it was a university cop, the blowback was very swift.
Yes.
He lost his job immediately.
He did.
But they're now claiming that he was released without a due process. His union stepped in and said that he was released without due process and is trying to lobby to get his job back.
Right, yeah. He wants to get his job back. Right, exactly.
He could go to like 15 years in prison. Basically, he could have 15 years.
Yeah, 15 years to life.
To life,
I think actually, but, because they did.
It was an outright murder.
Yeah, it was a murder, and he's already been charged.
Yeah,
they went to grand jury.
This happened very fast.
Yeah,
which at least we're getting to the point where
we're charging people now. That's a step in the right direction,
A sad step in the right direction.
Yeah.
In any case, that was the news as it pertained to people last week.
Yes.
The non-lion news, if you will. Other weird news that happened last week.
Yeah.
Jerusalem had its gay pride parade.
Yeah.
And, like, some random guy, who, by the way, had been doing this before,
just,
like, jumped out of the crowd and started stabbing people.
Yeah,
and now one of the victims has died.
Right. This guy had stabbed people at the 2005 pride parade.
Right.
And he was in prison for 10 years.
And then he's probably not going to do it again.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's fine.
And so people are now obviously, everyone is outraged, left, right, and center. Like, people from all, parties
walks
and
walks life.
Of political life are, like, outraged about this. And also, it sounds like it was, like, super chaotic, too, because,
it sounds like also the police really hadn't been monitoring him.
Well, right, and that is,
And that
I
was
think,
the sort of confusing part
problem,
of all
because,
of this.
Because, like, if you know...
Everyone sort of knew he would do this again.
Yeah,
he was a crazy person who was also an extremist. He was a religious extremist and a crazy person.
Right.
That's
who had already committed
this crime before.
Right.
Like, that's not a combo where you're like, you know what, he'll be fine.
Yeah.
We'll release him, and he'll just go on being... super Jewish and crazy elsewhere. He won't stab anyone.
No,
like,
he's not gonna
stab
gays.
He was a crazy person.
Yeah.
In any case.
Yeah.
That was a frustrating random thing. Other terrible things that are happening in the Middle East. It's like really fucking hot in Iran right now.
Like, when we say really fucking hot,
we're not,
that's what we mean.
Right. We're not... The heat
We're not
index,
talking like 120 degrees here, people.
No, the heat index there was 165 degrees in parts
Yikes.
Of Iran last week.
165
65? Degrees?
That's too hot.
It was also really hot in Baghdad. It was 124 degrees in Baghdad.
That's nothing.
That's
child's play.
You could literally cook something in that kind of heat. Like, if you just left eggs on a sidewalk in 124 degrees heat, you'd have eggs.
That's right.
You could eat the eggs.
Yep.
You could probably everything is sanitary at that point. 124 degree heat, you're basically all in an oven. You've sanitized the entire world at 124 degrees.
God.
So you probably could cook on a sidewalk if you needed to.
In any case,
that's too hot.
Yeah.
We can't expect the Middle East to work out its problems when it's this hot there.
No, I mean,
come on.
Get real, people.
This kind of heat drives people bananas.
Yeah.
That's documented.
Well, and this is actually the type of heat and the weather that we are seeing that Martin O'Malley talked about recently and got a bunch of blowback for, because, like, he was talking about how global warming is leading to ISIS and, like, some of the other, like, global problems that we're having. And, like, all the Republicans were like, oh, no, that can't possibly be right.
No,
but
I would be an extremist at 167 degrees.
That you had to be.
What else are you going to do?
You got to kill people
at
that temperature.
There's no way to live with yourself
at that
temperature.
You start ISIS at that temperature.
You start ISIS at that temperature. That's all you have at that point.
Yeah.
Anger is all you can muster at that kind of weather.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Oh, boy.
And in final news... American
one.
Streets are apparently not... You've been told by your parents, I'm sure, not to hitchhike. In the 60s, people were hitchhiking. That was a way people were getting around. Hippies were up to that.
Sure.
You can see it in movies.
Yeah.
You can see it on The Wonder Years. There's a lot of documentation of people hitchhiking.
Yeah.
These Canadian researchers had built this robot
named
Hitchbot that they were sending around in Canada and Europe to basically hitchhike. It's like a child-sized robot that hitchhikes around and then tells people fun trivia
facts. It's got a smiley face.
It's got a smiley face on it.
And it's always trying to, like, go somewhere.
Right.
So it's like, when it was in America, it was like San Francisco or bust.
Right.
It's, and yeah, so and it always was, like, trying to get somewhere. So, like, you would pick it up and you would, like, take it to where you were going.
And it would tell you some fun facts on the way and engage in conversation.
Exactly. And it had already been through, like,
it went all many, over Canada. It went all over Europe.
It made it through all of Canada in, like, 20 days.
Yeah.
Or something like
that. Right. Canadians are very friendly, as we
That's
know.
Right. Yeah.
So in any case, it was doing a San Francisco or bust trip.
Right. It started
In Massachusetts. You know, I think someone took it to a Red Sox game. People were taking it to weddings. It was going on all sorts of adventures. Someone took it out to sea. In Boston, they were perfectly nice to it.
Yeah.
Got beheaded by the time it got to Philadelphia.
Yep.
Beheaded the friendly hitchhiker robot.
Yeah.
So
it's gone.
Don't
it's
hitchhike,
dead.
Guys.
There's a picture of it.
There's a picture. Too, by I know. The way. They had said initially that they didn't want to release the picture, but then one got released. It was too sad.
Yeah.
So in any case, you can't even trust Americans to not murder
a smiley robot that's giving you fun facts.
It's giving you fun facts along the way.
Come on, people.
That's ridiculous. Philadelphia.
Or I mean, it could have been any nation. City anywhere.
Any city in America could have accomplished this tragedy.
God.
It's like, if once we're committing robot violence, too, it's like, we really need to think about what we're doing. Really think about where we're coming from.
Agreed.
Here. It doesn't make any sense to live this way.
Yeah,
no, you know, you can't go see a train wreck without being shot, and you can't be a hitchhiking robot and not be beheaded.
No,
it's like, what kind of nation are we even living in anymore? In any case, it may not surprise you to find that it's been very hot here too.
It has been.
So,
not 165. It's been about half.
It's been half of that. It may not also surprise you that there was no news this week. So we're only 35 minutes in, and we're done. We've run out of news.
We did it.
But next week.
We're going to have an hour's worth of a Republican debate.
So don't even worry about it.
Yeah.
So we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.